thank you for listening to Greening of the Great Lakes, online at mlive.com/environment. Here's more with your host, Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, it's a real pleasure to welcome to Greening of the Great Lakes, Dr. Nels Christensen. Dr. Christensen is an associate professor of English at Albion College. He teaches courses in the idea of nature and the nature of ideas. He also does writing and research in eco-criticism and eco-pedagogy. Nels, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much.
You have combined English and sustainability and ecology.
Yep.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got interested in doing that?
Well, I got lucky, mostly. My background is actually in Renaissance drama, of all things, here at Michigan State. I got my degree here. I just didn't know growing up that there was such a thing as environmental studies and like eco-pedagogy or eco-criticism. But I'd always been thinking thoughts about the natural world. I grew up hunting and fishing with my dad. I have always been like developing an environmental sensibility. I just didn't know what could be a career. Then suddenly, kind of in the past 15 years, the fact of this academic discipline became apparent to me. And I got lucky at Albion College where this position opened up, and I applied for it and convinced them that I was the best for it. And they agreed.
They agreed.
So it was partly luck, but also partly just a life of being outdoors and thinking about the natural world and thinking about books.
Well, I got to ask you, too. I can understand the life outdoors and the things you did with your dad and all that. Was there anything in the Renaissance period that sort of might spur an interest in sustainability?
I mean, kind of. If you think, like, Shakespeare is fascinated with nature and the idea of nature. And then sometimes he says that word and he means something good. And sometimes he says that word and he means something freaky.
Maybe when he refers to human nature.
That's right. That's right. So pretty much every writer is, in some sense, struggling with and dealing with that which is around him or her. So it's everywhere, actually. And I think you can't read literature without thinking in some sense about the environment. What we do in my field is just kind of emphasize and focus on that relationship between human beings and everything that's around them. That's always been a part of literature. It's just more recently since the environmental movement, literary people have started to pay attention to it in new and different kinds of ways.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you read in class and some of the things you do with the students when you're teaching some of your courses.
Yep. A lot of it is traditional kind of nature writing stuff, stuff you would imagine that we would teach.
Thoreau.
Yep. Mm. Yep. And then, so there's partly it's that kind of stuff, but then it's kind of more, I don't know, political kind of stuff. Even someone like Rachel Carson, who is never old. I mean, she's always, always, always relevant and always inspirational and always powerful. That is a book that you can find in a class of mine. There's also kind of more radical stuff, more stuff that's being written by people today who have a kind of edgier political agenda. I think it's important to get that stuff into the minds of the students. But in terms of what we do with them, I just mostly get them paying attention to language and get them paying attention to the world. And one of the ways we do that is to take them outside. And classes are held outside.
Well, there's a nature center at Albion, right?
That's right. Mm. I mean, that was sort of the that sealed the deal when Jess and I were looking at Albion College. I walked through the nature center, and I was like, this is the place we have to be. And most of my classes meet regularly at the nature center, and they occur outside.
Over the years that you've been teaching in this way, have you noticed a change in the students with respect to their understanding of or appreciation of sustainability?
I think so. Maybe both a positive and a potentially negative one. I think they are aware of that term in ways now that they weren't even 6 or 7 years ago. So that's good. But they're also less and less kind of aware, I think, of themselves in relationship to the natural world. They just spend lots of time indoors and hooked up to various kinds of technologies. And so part of what I have to do is disrupt that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not to criticize it, but just to unplug them
and
plug them into something else.
That's right.
That's right.
My guest is Dr. Nels Christensen. He's an associate professor of English at Albion College. I remember in my days of literature reading Thoreau and Emerson, the Transcendentalists,
yep.
and Melville, all of that sort of a thing.
Yep.
But now, is there a sense of urgency in some of the writing? Because, you know, we didn't have issues with plastic in the oceans,
yep.
and climate change and global warming and all of that when we were reading those back in my day.
Yeah, there absolutely is a sense of urgency. And sometimes that urgency moves into a kind of despair, which is problematic, but also totally understandable. But I do feel that certainly in the past 5 years or so in the kind of field of environmental writing, some people are feeling very, very, very much the urgency of the situation and trying to respond to that in various kinds of ways.
Well, speaking of environmental writing, you do a blog yourself and do quite a bit of writing. What are some of the themes that are most salient for you?
Mostly it's just about kind of being attentive and paying attention and kind of paying attention to patterns. In terms of climate change, I think it's just a human problem. I mean, and so the way I think about understanding climate change is not by way of the science, which I think is just established and clear. I'm not sure there is a debate about climate science. What's problematic is the human aspect. So basically just telling stories about human beings and their thoughts and feelings and loves and desires and failures and all that with respect to the natural world.
You mentioned the science, and yeah, 99.9% of the science you read, and it's ongoing, suggests that there's human causality.
Yeah.
But there are still groups out there that deny. They're the deniers.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I just think that the more I spend my time talking about such a small percentage of people who are wrong, I don't know, it just seems like a waste of my time, actually. And I'm much more interested in normal, common citizens who are confused about what all the science means, because what they really care about is their families, their communities, and their lives. And we have to talk to people on that level if we want any kind of change on the political level.
And what can we do in our households and in our businesses, maybe on a step-by-step basis? That way, it's not so cosmic.
Yep. That's right.
Can deal with this on a practice. And maybe that's something the students leave your classes thinking about.
I hope that they do. I mean, you never really know. That's the thing about teaching, is you get them and you have them for 14 weeks and then they're gone. But every once in a while you hear back from a student and you realize that something you said or something that they did sticks with them. And then that shapes the way they vote. It shapes the way they think about their lives. It shapes what they buy. I know that I have some kind of impact, but I often don't see it, actually.
Mm-hmm. But maybe you can read it in some of their writing.
That's true. Yeah. No, I mean, being able to write well, I say this to them all the time. There's a direct link, I think, between writing well and the ideas of ecology and sort of living well. I mean, if you can pay attention to the details of language, you can pay attention to the details of anything.
No, that's an interesting analogy that I never thought about, particularly sustainability.
That's right.
Nels, we got about a minute left here, but I'll talk a little bit. I'm an alum of Albion College, and Albion has a great academic reputation.
Yep.
But Albion's done some things with sustainability. It's been a focus down there in recent years.
Absolutely. We've just recently established some new majors, environmental science, environmental studies, sustainability studies majors. We're in the middle of a sustainability theme year. Every student who gets through Albion College has to take a class with an environmental focus. There's an emphasis and a focus on sustainability in the environment. There's more work we can do, certainly. But it's a great place to be if you're thinking about sustainability.
Great place to be, great students, great faculty, and I'm very proud to be an alum of Albion College. And you've got some interesting times ahead with the new president coming in.
Yeah, we're really, really excited.
And I imagine that commitment to sustainability in the curriculum and across the campus and all of its operations will continue.
Yep, I hope so.
Well, I've been talking with Dr. Nels Christensen, Associate Professor of English at Albion College. Nels, a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
And thank you for being on Greening of the Great Lakes.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Greening of the Great Lakes is brought to you in part by Shupan Recycling, MSU Ag Bio Research, leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy, and by Agricultural Leaders of Michigan, harnessing agriculture's power and potential to grow Michigan's economy.
Please find us on Facebook by searching for Greening of the Great Lakes and follow us on Twitter at Green Michigan.
Well, that concludes our show for this week. For more on sustainability issues affecting Michigan and the Great Lakes region, please visit our website at greeningofthegreatlakes.com or our blog at mlive.com/environment. Thank you for tuning in, and please remember, it's always Earth Day on Greening of the Great Lakes.